You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Morning, church. How are y'all? Good to see you. My name is Mike Cooper. I am so thrilled to be able to share God's Word with you this morning. About a month ago, Chris asked me to, and if you're new, Pastor Chris is our pastor. He's a little taller than I am, a little swoller than I am, a lot swoller than I am. I don't have any swole. So anyway, if you're a visitor or a first-time guest, family member, or maybe you just finally said yes to your neighbor, said, would you please come to church with me so you can just check that off the box and not have to say no to them anymore. We're glad that you're here. And I am so grateful to be able to share God's word with you. About a month ago, Pastor Chris asked me to share this morning, and my wife and I were in Jacksonville, Florida, South Georgia, visiting my family. I have a great nephew. You know what that means when somebody says great nephew? It means you're old, okay? So I guess I'm there. I didn't know when that happened. I thought it was the AARP card, but apparently if you're great whatever, you're old. So anyway, we're down in there, and the day that we flew down, the day before tragedy happened in Utah. And I'm not here to talk about Charlie Kirk and all the stuff that happened there, the assassination, or what side you're on, or if you agree or disagree, any of that kind of stuff. But what I'm here to talk about this morning is conflict. Anybody experience any conflict this week? Okay, three people. The rest of you, you can just kind of tune me out. So we go through conflict. We go through struggles. We go through difficulties. And while I was sitting in Jacksonville those couple days, I was sitting and I was praying. I said, God, man, how do we deal with conflict? How do we deal with conflict in a way that honors you? That doesn't happen in violence, it doesn't come out with hate and venom and all that kind of stuff that we've seen in media and social media and all that kind of stuff. How do we honor you in the midst of difficult relationships? How do we honor you in the midst of just life? And so this morning, we're going to look at a passage in Acts chapter 4 that Peter and John have done some things, and they are called onto the carpet in front of the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the temple guard and the high priest and all those kind of things, and we're going to see how they respond. But let me give you a little bit of background before we get there. Let's pray before we get there. Father God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the background is Jesus has lived. He's called the disciples. They've done this thing for about 3.5 years. He is arrested. He's crucified. He's resurrected. And he appears to the disciples after the resurrection in a locked room, which would freak me out, just being totally transparent. If I lock a room because I'm afraid that I'm about to experience what Jesus has just experienced, and somebody shows up in a locked room, I'm going to be a little bit afraid, just letting you know that. They shows up, he says he scares them by showing up in the room, and you know what his first word was? Peace. It's okay. I'm here. And so that happens. They see that. He says, I'm going to be here for a little bit, a couple more things I want you to hear, I want you to see, I want you to learn, and then I'm going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. So that happens, and he goes, but before I go, I'm going to let you know that there's going to be somebody who is going to come that will be a helper, that will be a comforter to you. The Greek word for that is paraclete. Heard somebody say one time, the best way to remember that is pair of cleats. When you're running, you can turn and all this kind of stuff, get some traction. Holy Spirit is that kind of helper, that assistant. Holy Spirit speaks to us. If you're not praying to the Holy Spirit, get on it, because the Holy Spirit gives us discernment, wisdom that we don't even know that we need to have. So Holy Spirit shows up. Acts chapter 1, the church is revolutionized. Like flames, tongues of flames come flying from everywhere. People from different languages hear different languages but understand it in their own language. Some crazy stuff that seems for the average person just can't fathom, can't recognize. Holy Spirit comes on them. Peter preaches a message. Very first message ever, 3,000 people get saved, okay? My very first message at First Baptist Church in Love Lady, Texas, back in 1990 was like 7 minutes. I mean, it was terrible, just letting you know. But the little old ladies came up to me and they go, great job, great job, great job. I'm going, thank you, I know it was awful. Thank you, I know it was awful. But he preaches his message, 3,000 people get saved, and the church comes together. I mean, some beautiful community and unity, all this stuff happens. Peter and John are headed back to the temple to preach again. They come up on this guy on the side of the road who has, scripture tells us, he's been not able to walk for 40 years. He was born crippled, unable to walk, and he's got there, and he's with his mat, and he has his little cup. And he's begging for money, begging for assistance. And Peter and John say, scripture says that gold and silver I don't have. I don't have any of that, but what I do have, I give you boldly. And what that is I want you to get up in the name of Jesus Christ. And the gentleman who hasn't walked ever in his life stands up, and people saw it and were absolutely astounded. Not only did the people who lived in the area, just normal folks saw it, but the religious elite saw that, and it freaked them out. They didn't know how to respond to that. And so their only response was to arrest Peter and John. It was late in the day on one day, so they said, listen, we have to find out what's going on. They arrest them and spend overnight in jail. We pick up in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard, which basically was the sheriff of the temple, and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Long story about all that. People didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The way to differentiate the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Pharisees believed it, but Sadducees didn't. That made them sad, you see. Anyway, you'll get that later. And so they're explaining, they're asking these questions. How did this happen? How did the guy who's been not able to walk for 40 years, how's he standing here? How did that happen? And then end of verse 7 says this, they say, by what power or what name did you do this? And verse 8 and 9 says, and then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, we are asked and ask how he is healed. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, that this man stand before you healed. So what does that have to do with conflict? You get arrested for doing something good, there's some conflict there. If it's just internal conflict, you don't understand between your ears, man, why is bad stuff happening because I did something good? Anybody ever asked that question? Man, God, why is bad stuff happening? Why is difficulty happening? Why is struggle happening? I'm doing my devotional. I mean, I haven't done my devotional in 10 years, but now I'm doing my devotional, and it just seems to be coming at me from all sides. God, I didn't used to tithe. Now I tithe now, and still bad stuff is happening. I'm checking. I'm coming to church. I'm going to community group. I have a Jesus bumper sticker. Why does bad stuff still happen? You have those questions, and so that happens to Peter and to John here. They're arrested. They're standing before the religious elite, and they're having to give an account for a gentleman that couldn't walk ever and now is walking. And so what I want you to see the first thing this morning is, in order for us to honor God in conflict, I believe that God wants us to be courageous. I believe that God wants us to have an attitude of, God, I know that you can do anything that you want to do through me as long as I'm obedient. They said, gold and silver we don't have, but I'll give you Jesus. And Jesus says, you can get up and walk. and this gentleman had never walked. He got up and walked. How did Peter and John have the confidence to be able to say, all right, God, get up and walk? Let me give you a couple of examples of why he could say that, why they could say that. Peter and John saw Jesus walking on the water. Any of you guys ever seen anybody walking on the water? I haven't. Not only did they see Jesus walk on the water, they also saw somebody else walk on the water. Who was it? Peter, the guy who's standing here. He says, not only did I see Jesus walk on the water, but I got to walk out to Jesus on the water. I sank because I didn't keep my eyes on him, but I walked on water. They saw what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus. They saw God show up. They saw prophets of old, Moses and Elijah, show up. Peter and John were there. They saw with their own eyes guys that had been dead for over 2,000 years. So they knew that there was something different about this guy named Jesus. They saw the feeding of the multitudes a couple different times. One account says that 5,000 were fed. Typically, that's just men. They don't count the women and children when it comes to that kind of stuff. And so probably, realistically, there's more like 15,000 people that are being fed. They saw, as they reached into the basket, here's a fish, here's some bread. There's still more there. Here's some fish, here's some bread. And they kept passing out. And then they had baskets left over. So they knew, they had some confidence that Jesus was who he said he was. He saw the crucifixion, they saw the resurrection, they saw the ascension. They saw all of that. And so that gave them confidence to be able to say to this man, get up and walk. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And church, I believe that fear is a spirit. I believe that it is something that can be devastating if you give in to the fear, if you give in to the circumstance that this is bigger than God, this is bigger than me. God says, don't do that. I didn't give that to you. If you're fearful, that's not for me. That's from the devil. And so God gives you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And so Peter was able to say these things. He said, listen, we're able to accomplish this, and we didn't accomplish it. God did, but it was through the name of Jesus Christ. This guy is up, and then he's walking. But I also want you to understand that there is a gigantic difference between being courageous and being arrogant. When we say something, we stand firm on a point, on a proclamation that we believe. And sometimes in our society, arrogance seems to come out more than a confidence does. And so here's a way to distinguish that I've come to learn over the years. If it is said in love, then that's courageous. If it's said in selfishness, if it's said in trying to get your own agenda across, if it's said in trying to demean someone, that's arrogance, and that's not of Christ. And so if it's said with the love of Christ, then I believe that it can be said that, hey, we're doing this courageously, that's going to honor God. Peter says to them, help me understand this. We were arrested last night. We're called onto the carpet of the day because we did something nice. We did something kind, I think is what Scripture says. This guy is now walking. And so Peter, the guy who was famous for kind of saying stuff kind of completely off the rails, a couple of examples, Mount of Transfiguration, where Elijah and Moses shows up, and God's there, and the cloud surrounds, and you know what, who says something? Nobody's saying anything, and then Peter steps up and goes, it is good that we are here. And Jesus has to look at him. God has to look at him. Actually, God says, Peter, hush. This is my son. Okay? You stuck your foot in it there. And then on the night that the Lord's Supper, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. Peter says, Lord, Jesus has told them that there's one guy who will betray him. Peter says, not me. Man says, God says, I want you to know that I'm your guy. All these other losers right here around the table, they may deny you, but it's not going to be. I'll die for you. I'll go to jail for you. And then, do you remember how Jesus responds to him? He says, get behind me, Satan. He goes, before the rooster crows in the morning, before the alarm clock goes off, you're going to deny me three different times. And so Peter, the guy who used to use his mouth and get in trouble, now is proclaiming that God has given him the boldness and the courage to be able to say those things. And he says, so we're in trouble for doing something kind for this guy. Verse 13, I want you to draw your attention to that real quick. After he says that, it says, when they, and they is the religious elite, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that these men were unschooled, they were just ordinary men, they were astonished that they took note that these men had been with Jesus. God wants us to be courageous in the midst of conflict, but he also wants us to be known for what we stand for. He wants us to be known by the people that you come in contact with, that you love Jesus with everything that you have. And so the question for you, the application part of this particular point is, do people recognize that you've been with Jesus? They recognize that Peter and John had been with Jesus. If they haven't said that to you, again, I'm not here to be mean. I'm saying this as a charge, as an encouragement to all of us. If they haven't said that to you or to me, maybe they haven't seen that in you, in me. That's a challenge for us, church. Just like Hannah said a while ago, man, we need to be a church, a bride ready for the groom to come back. Are you doing, am I doing all that God wants us to do so that people recognize that we've been with Jesus? Second thing I want you to see, not only does he want us to be courageous in the face of conflict, he wants us to point others to Jesus in the face of conflict. Verse 20, and again, there's a lot of passages here. I encourage you to go home this afternoon. Cowboys are going to lose. Spoiler alert. So just go ahead and keep TV off, open your Bible, read the first couple chapters here in Acts, and pick up, read all of chapter 4 in its entirety. But verse 20, it says, they say, hey, man, you guys got to stop talking about what you're talking about. You're causing some disruption here. And so it goes on and says, you guys, is it better for us? In verse 20, says, let's go back to verse 19. It says, but Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we've heard. We're going to continue to point to the things of God because that's what we have seen over the last 3.5 years. We can't help but talk about it. We can't help but share what God has done in our lives. We're just ordinary guys. And Jesus said, I want you, and I want you, and I want you to come follow me. And so, listen, you're not going to be around me very long before you start hearing about my wife because she's that important to me. You're not going to be around me before you start hearing about my kids and my grandkids. You're not going to be around me very long before you find out that I love Jesus because it's that important to me. And that's what Peter and John are saying right here. Listen, you guys are telling us to be quiet. We can't. We have to keep talking about what we've seen, what we've experienced with our own eyes. When God does something supernatural, you have to talk about it. There's no denying it. The thing that happened in Utah a couple weeks ago, there was something that happened that followed that up. There were some things that happened in lives of individuals that never had given God a shot. God used Charlie Kirk in this platform for people to be able to hear some things that they hadn't heard before. I was a youth pastor in a church in Colorado Springs when 9/11 happened. And the Sunday after 9/11 happened, you know what? Our congregation in that church in Colorado Springs was completely full. We had two services, completely full. Happened all across Colorado, which is not known for being in the Bible Belt, churchy kind of folks up there. Happened all around our nation because there was something tragic. There was something devastating that happened. The Sunday that followed up, what happened in Utah, same kind of thing. People started going back to the church, saw stuff on social media over and over and over again. Went to the church for the very first time in my life this past Sunday. Went to the church for the very first time in a very long time this past Sunday. Got a call from our son, Kyle. He says, hey, Dad, do you remember Mac? And the guy that he went to basic with, stationed with out in Germany, self-professed atheist. I said, listen, Kyle, you like God, cool, that's good for you, not for me. Got a call right after that happened, like 2 or 3 days after that happened. He says, Kyle, I want to let you know something. Or it's this now, isn't it? It's not this. Is that whatever. Teenagers will get that, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, It's always going to be this for me. So anyway, he gets a call, and he says, "Kyle, I want you to know something. On my way home from work today, I bought a Bible." I told Kyle, I said, "Kyle, he is so ready to hear what needs to be said right now. Even if it feels uncomfortable for you to say, you say those things that he needs to hear. Church, there are people that you live next door to, there are people in your house or people that you work with that need to hear what Jesus wants them to hear. And you're going to be the tool, you're going to be the instrument to be able to share those things. God wants us to be courageous. He wants us to point people to him. Why does he want that? James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." There is a time right now, church, that people are drawing near to the things of God. 9/11, the church wasn't ready. People came to the church and the church wasn't ready. The bride that Hannah was talking about, we did a terrible job of welcoming those folks into church because it was just different. It was the same they had been 10 years before that. They weren't loving, they weren't welcoming, they weren't prepared. We have to be ready for the people that walk through that door who are looking for the things of God, looking for peace, looking for comfort, looking for a community that's not going to judge them, that's going to love them, going to tell them what they have to hear, what they need to hear. But we have to be the church that's ready for those people that walk in that door, the people that are going to walk in your house, neighborhood, your cubicle at work, whatever it is, we need to be able to say those things. I said, "Kyle, tell them to start out in the book of John. Fantastic book. Most of the book of John covers the last week of the life of Jesus. That's who we're pointing to. It's not about you, not about church. It's about pointing people towards Jesus." And then read the book of James, probably the most practical book in the entire New Testament. And so I said, "But you have those conversations." And then guess what happened? He'd called back and said, "Hey man, this is what's going on. Can you help me? This is what's going on in my family. My brother has shunned me. My brother that I grew up with loved. Now he won't have anything to do with me. What do I do?" And so, church, we have to be ready to give an answer. We have to be ready to point people towards Jesus. So be courageous. Point people towards Jesus. How do we point people towards Jesus? In my mind, this is kind of what I picture. Scripture says there in Acts, I think, verse 11, verse 12, it says that the gentleman that was healed was in the presence of Peter and John in front of their religious elite. I imagine it wasn't like this, doesn't say this in Scripture, but I imagine John here and Peter here and the guy that was crippled standing right back here, and then they do this choreographed kind of thing where they both go, whoop, and this guy steps up, and they say, "Right here, by us pointing to this guy right here, you're seeing what Jesus has done." So when we point to him, we're pointing towards Jesus. We point people towards Jesus because it's a changed life. Not a perfect life, but it's been a changed life. They may not understand how it happened, but there's no denying that something happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness." Have you seen some things, heard some things from people that you're just saying common sense kind of stuff, and people are denying that it exists, that they refuse to believe the truth? They refuse to believe stuff that's common sense to us. Have you experienced any of that? Scripture's saying they don't understand it because the Spirit of God does not reside inside of them. They cannot understand it because these things are discerned through the Spirit. So the evidence of pointing people towards Jesus is a changed life. Change in your life, a change in the people that you come in contact with. You point people towards the things of God. Third thing I want to share with you this morning, and just because it's third on my list doesn't mean that it's third priority, but man, we need to pray when it comes to pointing people towards Jesus and how to honor God in the midst of conflict. We need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray. My prayer life is not what it needs to be. I self-confess, I'm just being transparent here. Need to improve that part of my life and a lot of other things, but my prayer life is not where it needs to be. God wants us to come before him, and listen to what happens. Peter and John, they get dismissed. They tell him, says, "Listen, we don't understand what's going on. Verse 21 says, after further threats, they decided, from the religious elite to Peter and John, they decided to let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Listen, people can try to shut you up, but when God is doing the evidence, if God is doing the things that's crystal clear, people can say whatever they want to say, but God's still going to get the glory. So Peter and John, they leave. Verse 23, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. You know who your own people are, church? This right here is your own people. You had some own your own people in the first service. You're going to have some of your own people in the next service. And just because you're not sitting in the same room at the same time doesn't mean they're not your own people. Peter and John went back to their own people. And did they just hang out, have some coffee and some donuts? Nope, keep going. They reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they, plural, their own people, group, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They said, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. And it goes continues on through there. And then they continue on and saying some things in verse 27. They're praying, God, we understand that Herod and Pontius Pilate did some things. They killed your servant, your son, Jesus. We understand that those things were necessary. We understand that conflict, we understand that struggle was necessary. We're praying, God, that you didn't talk to Hannah before the service started. Her prayer, talking about the church being ready, remember the prayer that she prayed right before I got up here? She goes, God, give us boldness. Check this out, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great, what? Boldness. Listen, church. Listen, folks, people, not the building. This is not the church. This is the church. God wants us to be bold. He's given us a helper. He's given us the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us to discern truth. For us to be able to see a situation, have a conversation with some folks, and speak boldly the things that they need to hear. They're praying boldly. Continue on. Verse 30 says, stretch out your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Continue to pray. I don't know, what does prayer look like? Well, Mike, I'm not very good at it. What does it sound like? I'll be honest with you. A lot of my prayers start with, okay, God, what are you doing? Anybody ever start a prayer like that? I'm not saying that's how you start your prayers. I'm just saying that's what happens in my life a lot because I'm trying to walk out my faith. I'm trying to do my devotionals, trying to do all the things that I know that I'm supposed to do, even though sometimes I don't feel like doing it. I know that they're necessary. I need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. How do you pray? Dear God, and then you start talking. And then when you stop talking, listen. Open this and read it. And then listen. The Spirit of God that lives inside of you will begin to speak to you. And I'm not saying you're going to hear this audible voice, hey, Mike. I'm not saying that. But you're going to hear something in your soul much louder than you're ever going to hear it with your ears. Because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, wants to give you guidance. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Your problem is not the person sitting next to you. Your problem is not the city council. Your problem is not your neighbor. Your problem is not this. It's not with people. Our problem is evil, and it happens in the heavenlies. It happens in places that we can't see. And so if your prayer life is not what it needs to be, it needs to be. Because evil is real. And God wants us as a body of believers to come together to pray for one another, to encourage one another, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "For we know that God works for the good for those who love him and called according to his purpose." I know that it's very difficult for some of us to ask for help, for ask for prayers. But you have some things going on in your life that we don't know about. The church, your church family gathering together, that we could be praying for you, but we don't know how to pray for you. That little card on the back, on the seat back in front of you, where we say every Sunday morning, fill that out, list out some prayer requests. We don't say that just because we want you to put something on a piece of paper and we're never going to see it. We pray over those things. We list those things out. We get an email with all those listed out. We're praying for them. And so if there's something that we can be praying for you about as a body of believers, oh, sovereign God, we want to be praying those things for you. Get a devotional right out here on the table, right in the foyer. I don't know how long I am over, but get a devotional. Read it. There's a little verse at the end of it. Start somewhere. There's stuff online. My Utmost for His Highest. You can log in, save a bookmark on your computer, read that every single day. I just recently heard one. My wife and I do a devotional in the mornings on our front porch, drinking our coffee. I know some of you have a crazy schedule and you don't have that kind of freedom, but you have some time. You're in your car, find some time. But this devotional where it's called Shane and Shane's devotional, that's what we call it. They sing songs. I can't sing, but I sing on the front porch, and my wife's just going, "Baby, you can sing, okay?" But I'm singing, and there's a little devotional to go along with it. But I recently, and in that devotional, we found another devotional where they're reading a prayer, a Puritan handbook called The Valley of Visions, that's written over 150 years ago. And I want to read just a section of this to you. It says, "Lord, help me, for I am lukewarm and chill." I didn't even know chill was used 150 years ago, but they're using it way back then. It's not a new word, all right? It says, "But I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee." I love the thees and the thous. "Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee. All else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God." So if you can't verbalize your prayers, then you can agree with some prayers from some godly folks that were written over 150 years ago and just echo those. Say, "God, do that in me. Let that be my heart. I want you to be known in my life. I want to be courageous with those kind of words." And you say, "Well, Mike, man, I'm just a normal guy. I didn't go to seminary. I don't have the Bible knowledge. I don't have any of those kind of things for me to be courageous, for me to point other towards Jesus." I'm glad you think that way, okay? Because I want you to look at verse 13. And we're going to close with this. "When they," the religious elite, "saw the courage in Peter and realized that they were unschooled," no seminary, just normal folks. Unschooled, what's the next word? Ordinary men. We got any ordinary folks in the church today? Every one of us, okay? "They were ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these people had been with Jesus." Don't say you can't do it just because you're ordinary. God has called us to be courageous. He's called us to point others to him, and he's called us to be on our knees praying so that we're ready as a bride, as we're ready as a church for when he comes back. Let's be the church that God wants to come back to and take all of us back with him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the boldness of Peter and John and God, what you accomplished in the church 2,000 years ago. God, you're still accomplishing today. You're using the boldness of folks that are not ashamed, as Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And so, Father, they're letting people know that. They're letting people know that by living out a changed life. People are seeing some folks and they're going, "Man, you're not who you used to be. You don't go the places you used to go. You don't say the things you used to say. Man, now your vocabulary is completely different. Man, now it still, you talk about God. You talk about peace. You talk about forgiveness. Man, that's not the God that I knew 15 years ago. Not the God that I knew a year ago. Not the lady that I knew 6 months ago. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us boldness in the midst of a world of conflict, that we would be courageous. Courageous, God, in a point, the words that we say, the actions, the steps that we walk out every day. And, Father, that you would help us point people to you. Father, your word says that, man, no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws them. And so, Father, we're just introducing them to you, and then it's your responsibility to do the rest of the work. And so, Father, I pray that you would allow us to be obedient, allow us to have a conversation with someone, to point someone to you. And then, Father, as we're praying for those folks, as we're praying for a courageous life, Father, that you would just give us clarity, you give us the courage to be able to stand up and make those faith statements when we need to. Father, begin today in me, begin today in the lives of the people that are in this room, the people that are listening online. Father, help us to be bold. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.